Welcome to the Influence by Design podcast. I'm Samantha Riley, authority positioning strategist for coaches and experts. If you're ready to build a business that gives you more than just a caffeine addiction, and you dream of making more money, having more time, and having the freedom to be living your best life, then you're in the right place. It's time to level up. Welcome to today's episode of Influence by Design. I'm your host today, Samantha Riley, and I'm bringing you some more clips from Profitable Coach Summit. So today we're going to give a little insight into topics like list building, how to increase your pricing, lead generation, how to get rid of money blocks, and even human design and how to use it to align your marketing. So in today's episode, I'm bringing you short clips from James Lamb, Joy Buffalini, Angela Henderson, Louisa Havers, and Juliet Stapleton. If you haven't got your ticket yet, you can get that over at profitablecoachsummit.online. If you've been with us for the last few days, I hope you're having a blast. We are having a lot of fun in the Facebook group. There's some great comments, huge ahas and takeaways that people are receiving. So keep that up. It's really wonderful to read the ahas that people are having because, you know, you could only be one little message away from really skyrocketing your coaching business. Sometimes it's something new that you're hearing for the first time, and sometimes it's just the reminder that you need. And we are hearing that a lot over the summit. So if you haven't grabbed your ticket, head over to profitablecoachsummit.online. But let's jump into today's episode.
I think one of the things that we do in my program, quite frankly, and it's super powerful and you can do it on your own. So this is a great drop for something that we normally teach that you have access to now. I call it an assembly of assets. I don't know what you call it, but a lot of times we are too fixated on list. We are way too fixated on list. And here's the write or downer for you if you want is we have more influence than we believe. Part of this problem is that automation thing. So part of our problem is we only leverage lists and we think the only way to get opt-ins is send it to the list. That's not true. There's so many other ways we can do this. You can approach somebody who you know. You can approach a friend who you know needs the product. You can approach, like, these things matter. So realistically, here's the math. Here's the simple math, okay? If you have 100 people on your email list, on an email average, normally about 20 will actually open the email. Okay, so 20% open rate, which is actually pretty generous these days. Okay, 20 people will actually open the email, and then one or three people will click. And then depending on their opt-in page, maybe one to three people will opt in, one to two people. That's just math, okay? So all of a sudden, if you have one person opting in who you know through a qualitative ask, right? That's equivalent to a list of 100. Now, if you got 10 people, that's equivalent to a list of 1,000, right? So you can continue to do the math up. And if you show, oh my gosh, that's even better because of show rates, right? So a lot of the time we have more influence than we believe, whether it's through parent connections, through parent groups, whether it's through a sporting team or at the gym, or, you know, maybe you have a stage you can offer, whether it's a podcast or a YouTube channel. Maybe you have an inside group. Maybe you have a small and mighty group of people who a mastermind who get together. You have way more influence than you believe. And we forget about that, quite frankly. Right. So my suggestion is always going to be do an assembly of the assets before you go to one of these events, because when you support someone in a meaningful way, it means a lot. Right. I will tell you one of the biggest things that we're, and it's usually a lag effect. What do I mean by that? Well, normally when you start supporting people, you will see the result of that about 6 or 12 months later. I'll give you a great example. Okay. I ended up on Alina Vincent's launch leaderboard, which was one of the hardest things I did back a couple of years ago. And that has just paid off and paid off and paid off and paid off and paid off since. And the way I got to the leaderboard was I literally messaged about 250 people as a one-to-one individual conversation and said, hey, I know you're interested in this. It would be really meaningful to me if you could opt in. That's how we did it. Right. So you have more influence than you believe.
So first, number one, or you call this step one, is I had been selling like one-to-one coaching, 6 months of one-to-one coaching for $9.97. And I was overgiving. Oh. And of course, that wasn't very scalable. So right away, I just made the decision that my coaching offer is $3,000. Nothing. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to sell anything under $3,000. That was a really like a scary decision. And I know the first time that, you know, I had a lead on the phone and I said, and the investment level is $3,000. She went, "Ooh, maybe I could do 2,100. Would you consider that?" And I went, "It's $3,000." She said, "Okay, let's do it." But soon as I did it once, and again, even serving that client, I up-leveled my game. She showed up differently. She got even better results. We both had more skin in the game. I got more confident in talking about my offer. I got more confident on those sales calls. And suddenly I'm starting to bring in 2, 3, 4, 3K clients every month. And so taking ownership of that price point and the value I was giving to someone. And also I started fine-tuning more of like what I call, who was my yes client? Who is not everybody is your client. Who's that person that's really a fit for your program and your package? And start dialing in that package to be, you know, more specific for a specific person. And that was more like in my, you know, my multi six figure year. The first six figure year, I was more like winging it, like, yeah, I can serve you. Yeah, I can serve you. And then I got more specific and dialed it in. And actually, that was the key to scaling, though, is actually having a more specific offer, because more people's like, oh, I need that. Yeah, that's for me, right? Because I got really specific about who the offer was for. So yeah, that first step was like making a pricing decision, no $47 things, no $500 things, nothing under $3,000. I just kept my focus on one offer and one offer only. And that was all I had available. Second year after that, I added a secondary offer. Just a group program version, kind of the same thing for the people that couldn't afford. So I was able to, again, like scale to that 250 just with two simple offers. This is what I have to offer. Again, not worrying about, I wasn't running challenges or workshops, or I wasn't, you know, having memberships or courses or anything. Like I just decided to skip that whole bottom end of the funnel and just focus up here. And I really enjoyed serving those clients. It's low tech, it's high touch. And it was just, it's just really easy model to manage. And of course, then you can bring on team easily when you're at those numbers to help you manage the clients and everything as well.
Absolutely. Like I said, we all need to be visible in some way, shape, or form. The thing is choosing a visibility strategy that is in alignment for you and where your people are. And this is where I see things go very wrong. So the first thing that I want to talk about is there's only three ways to gain visibility: organic, partnership, and paid. That's it. So organic works really well. But if you think about like the mountains, it's a very up and down, up and down, up and down. And that's because the space is getting noisier and noisier than ever before. Also, the majority of the platforms are using the organic space that we used to have to be able to plug paid ads. So there's less space. So you're lucky on any given day, if 5% of what you post actually gets seen by your people. So if you've got, you know, 1,000 people on your following, for example, you're lucky if 50 of those people see it. And then you're lucky of those 50 people who are actually stopping, and of those 50 people who actually need what you have on offer or what you're telling them on that particular day. So it's getting very, very hard, in my opinion, to grow organically. Can it still work? Yes. I'm just talking social media there. You can grow organically via having an SEO strategy. You can grow organically by having, you and I both have our own podcasts. You could grow organically via YouTube. But it's really important that you choose a strategy that you like and that you understand. Where people go wrong is they're on Instagram, they're on TikTok, they're doing a podcast, they're trying to produce a YouTube channel. And the reality of it is there's no way any one of us can know all the ins and outs about what those programs or platforms, I should say, need from us. So therefore, you're never going to execute fully and get the full advantage and return on investment. So that's kind of organic. Then you've got the beautiful partnerships, which we're going to dive into a little bit more. So I won't go too much into that. And then you've got paid. So paid can do really, really great things, but paid can also go really like it, you're exchanging money instead of time. Paid can be anything from still billboard ads. People still do it and get money. Magazines, they still do that. I'd really encourage you to look at your ROI on that though. But paid podcast ad, paid event sponsorship, paid SEO, paid Google ads, paid all of those things. The thing that where I see people go wrong is they will do really great at a paid whatever, let's say a Facebook ad. They drive traffic back to their funnel or back to their website, but it's not set up to convert. And then they don't have a post funnel sequence. So then I hear people going, "Oh my God, I've paid $2,000, $10,000 on ads and it sucks." I'm like, well, hold up. No, actually, your ads person did what they said they were going to do. They drove the traffic to whatever you wanted them to do. But it's your responsibility to make sure on the back end, you've got everything in place. And a lot of businesses don't. So again, if you're going to go down the paid ads, make sure that your funnels are set up accordingly to really convert on the back end. So yes, visibility, organic, partnerships, and paid.
This is, I call taking full energetic responsibility. So for those that are listening, you might be like, yeah, I get it. Energy flows where our attention goes, you know, that all becomes our intention. And for me, I actually find this really empowering because we are then able to take full energetic responsibility for our reality creation. And of course, there's many modalities that we can do this. There's lots of amazing ones out there. You know, we use the Helix method to transmute energy that's not serving us and to be able to recode the beliefs and emotions. So we can really imprint all of this to create that coherence and resonance with what we desire. And so how I see this is being aware that our little energy field that we live in, I like to call it our human Wi-Fi, because I see it as, you know, we're sending out a signal, beaming it out into the universe, saying, hey, can I have some more of this? And actually, if we're not being really intentional about what we're allowing into our consciousness and the vibration that we're holding, and of course, we can see what we're holding by what's reflected back to us in our reality. So that's what I mean around, let's take full energetic responsibility by being very intentional with our energy healing and consciousness and the identity that we are holding for ourselves that is ultimately creating our reality and sending out these signals into the universe. So that's what I mean by taking energetic responsibility. It leads into the fourth area, which I call our responsibility quotient. So what I mean by this is our capacity for responsibility, because of course we all want to self-actualize and to live at our highest potential, to make more money, to receive more money, to be able to have more choices. And I do see money as an ascension tool. It, you know, as through our businesses, we're able to create these incredible opportunities for other people and to serve more people. So our businesses want to be able to receive more money. And the thing that can come up, and I've seen this with in our journey with leadership, is this inner conflict in relation to our relationship with responsibility. So if we, you know, if everyone here thinks about, okay, so what is it? What's your financial desire for this year? And you just bring that into your mind right now and then think, well, are you ready and willing to become responsible for this level of money? Mm-hmm. Because it's that piece. It's our relationship with responsibility that I think so often we don't think of as potentially like a money block in terms of actually will we allow our businesses to grow.
With the energy types, right, which we have generators, which also have manifesting generators or pure generators, the difference between two is just the pace. The pace is different, mm-hmm. right? Then we have projectors, manifestors, and reflectors. The most important question to ask yourself is the existential question for each of these types. That question will give you a direction on how to approach everything in your business. For example, the generator types, your existential question is, who am I? Mm-hmm. You're not here for other people. Your conditioning is to please the rest. You're here to learn who you are. So focus within. What satisfies you in your business? Where do you like lose track of time and really enjoy being it for yourself, not for others, right? Mm. Find those places. That will give you the ease. As we said, attraction happens when you're at ease with yourself. Those are the people who everybody wants to be around, you know, not the neediness, not the desperation. Mm. So that's one of the things. And we will talk about consistency and I'll give you some tips there. But just these questions, think about it really, really deeply. And everything you do, ask yourself, what am I, if you're a generator, what am I in this? Who am I in this? What is my role? Am I enjoying this? Not about others, about yourself. Selfish marketing, right?
Yeah, I love it.
Yes. If you're a projector, this is interesting because the existential question for a projector is, who is the other? But I would rephrase that. It's really is who am I in relation to the other? Because projectors get so conditioned by other people's energies. We are a little bit lost. We can't ask ourselves the question, who am I? Although trust me, every projector that I know is deep into personal development and they want to know why they're the way they are. But that's because they're clueless themselves. They can't just tune in and feel satisfaction. It just doesn't work. There's too much uncertainty about this. But through the others, especially correct others, we enter our relationships. This is where strategy, every type has a strategy. Strategy is how your aura interacts with the other aura. When you enter mm-hmm. relationships with people correctly, then you get these people who see you for who you are, who recognize you for what you want to be recognized. So their feedback can help you learn more about yourself. There's a beautiful song by Depeche Mode, and it says, it's only when I lose myself in someone else that I find myself. And I really think it's a projector thing. So manifestors, they, if you read about, you probably get really furious because they say you have a repelling aura.
Yeah, that frustrates manifestors.
Yes, you're lovely. It's just the word, the language. You have to see beyond the language. You always have to ask yourself, what does it actually mean to me? So the repelling mm-hmm. doesn't mean that you are awful. All it means is that you have very dense aura around you that is not possible to penetrate. That's why some people can feel a little resistance because, you know, like projector's aura is created, it's kind of like an ice cream cone, you know, it goes and penetrates. Generator's aura is very porous, like an octopus, you know, delivering things, or like a vortex, things are delivered into the center, you know, to who they are. Manifestors are these ball of fire, you know, great balls of fire, that's what you are. And you're there to make an impact. So you don't need to care about connecting to people, seeing within people. You can do your thing. The only thing that we ask by the strategy is that let those who go to be on the path of this fire know the fire is coming. That's what the strategy to inform is. You don't need to ask permission. You can do your own thing. And you really need to make decisions from that self, in the capital letters, selfish place of where am I making an impact without people pleasing. Without, you know, because that's going to make you passive aggressive, which is your signature of misalignment. You know, mm-hmm, we don't want mm-hmm, that. We mm-hmm. want you to be you. And that's really, really important question to and ask that with your business model specifically. This is where I see a lot of manifestors kind of getting lost and listening to gurus and not stepping into their own power that they are the impact. And they are not here to build. So in a way, that's what they're here to do. An impact that ignites. Get a team or create your business around just that moment that you don't have to then support your clients for the rest of their, because it's going to kill you. It's going to kill you inside. This is what destroys the flow of your business because you actually don't want to do it. Somewhere subconsciously, you don't want to do it. It's misaligned. And then if you're a reflector, this is very interesting. Reflectors are also very dense. You know, they reflect. It's very difficult to penetrate into the reflector. I was married to a reflector once. I didn't know it was my first marriage, but I know now looking back how you get, in a way, there is a reflection going back at you. The reflectors are here to sample everything around them and in a way then share and feed it back into their environment. So the reflector is a great indication of alignment or misalignment, right or wrong environment. You know, this is something, it's just to understand that you're here, you can be jumping into things obsessively. You might think that you have some sort of like mental condition, some form of autism or something, which is actually a wonderful thing. I'm in no way, I'm myself neurospicy. So, but you might think that this is this, but it's not, it's you're sampling. So you get obsessive about something, the next day you might change your mind. That's okay, that's your thing. So your business and your visibility, it needs to be flexible. Allow yourself this, don't shame yourself that you didn't stick to something long enough. It's okay. You know, those are the little things that are huge. I call them in my book, cockroaches in your head. It's a Russian saying, cockroaches in your head, those annoying little thoughts. I think Daniel Amen, he is a famous US doctor who talks about how the brain works, right? There is a book, Change Your Brain. And he talks about the same thing. He calls them ants, annoying negative thoughts, right? And we have them, mm-hmm. but they stop us. They just stop us. We have to be aware of those and let them go. So human design, again, gives us this permission. So that's the four types.
Thanks for joining me for this episode of the Influence by Design podcast. If you want more, head over to influencebydesignpodcast.com for the show notes and links to today's gifts and sponsors. And if you're looking to connect with other experts who are growing and scaling their business too, join us in the Coaches, Thought Leaders and Changemakers community on Facebook. The links are waiting for you over at influencebydesignpodcast.com.